this morning, clothed us in our right mind, and here we are in his house worshiping him, and he is so good to us. I am so thankful for the Lord this morning, all he has done for me and what he'll continue to do for me. Amen. This morning, we're going to be taking a look into some very familiar passages of Scripture. And before we begin, I just want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in your house this morning, God, among your people. And Father, I ask that you would use me this morning, God, to proclaim your word, that everything that comes out of my mouth, God, would be pleasing to you and be exactly what you would want me to say this morning. Father, we just give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, and in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. It was Henry Ward Beecher who once said that in this world, it is not what we take up, but what we give up that makes us rich. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at some familiar scriptures that talk about sacrifice. One definition of sacrifice is to offer to God in homage or worship. And another one says to destroy, surrender, or suffer to be lost for the sake of obtaining something. Sacrifice for us in terms as being believers means that we are suffering loss for the sake of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, with the hope that we will gain eternal rewards, which his word tells us we will. The here and now is not where our treasure is supposed to lie, but Jesus said very clearly to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, in Matthew 6:20. And to do so, he said that we have to make sacrifices. We're going to begin this morning by looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, and then we're going to flip over to John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And this morning, we're going to examine these scriptures together. There are two different accounts told by different gospel readers, but by looking at both of these scriptures of passage, we're going to be able to really see the fuller extent of what event is happening here. Our message this morning is taking a look at a woman named Mary who made a costly sacrifice in order to express her love to Jesus. And from one act of worship that she had, we can learn something about how God requires us to live our lives each day. Amen. If you would stand with me for the reading of the Lord's Word, if you are able to. Starting with verse 3, it says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, 'Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have me always. She has done what she could. She has come before my hand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be a memorial to her." Flip over to John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 more and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money in the box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, 'Leave her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always.'" Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you so much for honoring the Lord's word. This morning, we must first take a look at this alabaster box. What is an alabaster box? What is it made of? We know that based upon Scripture, it's something that is made of soft marble. It's usually used in something that was put together in mind in Egypt during this time. This is not the same kind of marble that we see today or that we see used today, but it's typically marble that was used very softly to make jewelry. It was used to make vases, statues maybe even during Jesus' time. We see today that this particular type of material is still available in Egypt today. The spikenard that it's referring to is talking about a bush that was found that had a very specific kind of berry fruit inside of it. When you extract that berry, you get the oil that is made. It's a very costly perfume. It's one of the most expensive perfumes during this time to obtain. We see that when this oil is sold and placed inside of the alabaster box, it becomes very expensive. It's one of the most expensive pieces to have there. And the only way to get this perfume outside of this alabaster box is to quite literally break the alabaster box to get inside of it. Thus, when this alabaster box is broken, it's unrepairable. There's no way to put it back together again. You see, during this time, only the wealthiest families had access to this alabaster box. It was usually kept for women of the house to obtain. Sometimes it would be passed down from generation to generation. Sometimes 8 to 9 generations of folks would pass it down within their family. Sometimes it would be given as a wedding gift. And if you were to give this such wedding gift, you were the MVP of the wedding, because this was an expensive fragrance. The box only break when the man, sometimes they would only break that box if the man of the house, if a lady had her husband who would pass away. Sometimes they would, if they were rich enough, they would break this box and they would pour this oil out on this man, because it would show that I love you. It was again a really expensive something that a lot of people were not able to obtain unless they were wealthy. This morning I'm going to be making 6 points upon how this sort of thing is a symbolization of the sacrifice that we have to make to God at times. And it will allow us to see that sacrifice is not always easy. The word sacrifice in itself means that we have to give up something to obtain something. And we know this morning as Christians, oftentimes we have to sacrifice the things that we have in order to gain those eternal rewards. The point number one that I want to make this morning is our flesh must be broken. We see in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, it tells us that a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil, of spikenard. It said that she broke it and poured it on his head. This woman who John identifies as, we know, is Mary. And as they broke the alabaster flask, a very white, yellow, or brown calcium began to deposit outside of that box. Some translations, such as the King James Version, will say that she broke a box instead of a flask, and other people will call it different things in different translations. But exactly what it is not as significant as the flask represented the body. The Apostle Paul, in speaking of the power of Christ coming in us, says that, but we have this treasure in our earthly vessels. Amen. One commentator wrote, I believe that breaking the flesh is what the story in the Bible of the woman with the alabaster box is all about. She broke that box so expensive of perfume so that it could be poured out. And so in the same way, we have to pour out ourselves unto God, and He will pour out of us when we do that. Why must our flesh be broken, you might say? And what are the good things of God that must be poured out of us? Those questions bring us to my second point. Our life is to be an offering unto God. In Mark 4:3 and John 12, verse 3, we are told that Mary poured out this oil of the flask. The oil here is symbolic, because we read that if you take a look at the dictionary here in the New Bible Dictionary, that the oil was prominent among the Old Testament and the first fruit offerings. Amen? And during that daily sacrifice, the oil is symbolic of a sacrifice. The most expensive sacrifice that could have been given during that time. Mary not only broke this alabaster flask, but her flesh, she poured out her life as an offering unto God when she poured that oil out of that alabaster box. The Apostle Paul declared in Romans 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and pleasing unto Him. This is your rite of worship. Paul stated of himself in Philippians 2:17, I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of our faith. Our very life is expected to be an offering unto God. In John chapter 12, verse 3, we read that the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. We all have sweet perfume in us, but our alabaster box, which is representative of our flesh, has to be broken in order for this perfume, for the good things of God, to be poured out inside of us. We are all each full of the good things of God. We each have the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, so forth. But many times our alabaster box, this flesh that we have, keeps us from being poured out. In Philippians 4:18, Paul said that the lives of the Philippians given to God in acts of service were a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that was well-pleasing unto God. If we break our flesh and offer our life as a sacrifice unto the Lord, then our life will become a sweet aromatic oil unto God. Very symbolic of this scripture. So far we've seen that our flesh has to be broken and that our life has to be poured out as an offering unto God. So does this begin in our life, or where does it all begin? This question brings us to point number three. We must bow at the feet of Jesus. We read in John 12:3 that Mary anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. What I hope we will take from this example is how Mary spent time at the feet of Jesus. In the Gospels, there are at least 8 times when someone either bows or falls at the feet of Jesus. 6 of those times we see were people requesting his healing, or they were after having received a healing miracle. What we observe in the Gospels is that people brought their problems and laid their problems at the feet of Jesus. Now, why would people place their burdens at the feet of Jesus? You see, bowing at someone's feet during this time was a sign of servanthood. When Jesus wanted to demonstrate servanthood to his disciples, he humbled himself and he kneeled before them and he washed their feet. Therefore, when someone came to Jesus with their problems, they were demonstrating humility before Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen? They submitted to Jesus because they believed that he could take care of their problems. We see in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet." When you come to the feet of Jesus and bring your problems to him, guess what? You are taking them, and those problems go under his feet as he begins to move in your situations. Now, it's not just our problems that Jesus says that we should bring to him. It also says that we should lay before him our passions, our desires, and submit unto him unto a servant. Just like a servant would, amen? How many of us are willing to give up our own worldly kingdom, our own earthly treasures that we have for Jesus Christ, to gain which is that which will be eternal in heaven? When we learn to bow down at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, all give him all of our wants, all of our desires, that's when our flesh is truly broken, and it's when our life is poured out before God, and it's when this beautiful aroma of precious oil that's inside of our bodies begins to be poured out. Many of us have not allowed our life to be poured out as an offering unto God. When is the last time we have prayed, "God, use me. God, use me for your glory. God, what is my specific work that you want for me to do, God?" When is the last time we have done that? But see, that brings us to point number four. Many people have their own plans. Point number four, being that many people have different plans, and we read again in Mark chapter 14, 4 through 5, it says, "But there were some among themselves that said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 and given to the poor.'" We see here that some of the disciples had their own plans on how they wanted to utilize this expensive oil. They thought it should have been sold and the money should have been given to the poor to help them. Their perception was quite different than that of what Jesus had. It is not unusual for people to have their own plans concerning the things of God and how things should be conducted. But following our plans instead of God's perfect plan will oftentimes lead us into trouble. In 2 Samuel 24, 1 through 17, we read how King David wanted to know how many fighting men he had in Israel. So he conducted a census in order to gain a tally of how many people were there. God was greatly displeased because David was trusting in numbers for his security instead of trusting in Jesus Christ. Therefore, God provided David with a choice of what punishment he should receive. 7 years of famine, fleeting 3 months before his enemies or 3 days of plague? David chose the latter, and then severely, and then 70,000 men of Israel ended up dying in this situation. David said to the angel of the Lord who carried out this sentence, "Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done?" Many innocent people ended up dying because David had an idea of what he believed should have been the right path. When we choose our plans over God's plans, it can lead to severe consequences, not only for ourselves, but for other people as well, as we see in the scripture. How many of us have our own perceptions or ideas of how this Christian life should be? When we all carry out our own plans and ignore what God has established for our plans, not only do we end up into a heap of trouble, but it brings us to point number 5, and that is many people end up wasting their life. You see, Mark chapter 14, verse 4, it says that some of the disciples, along with Judas, used this word wasted. They were so worried that this expensive oil or perfume would be used and would be wasted, and they didn't realize that they were wasting their own lives by being disobedient unto Jesus. There was one commentator who tells us that it's interesting that Judas in John 12, 4 through 6 would be one of the accusers saying that this particular use of oil was wasted. He also said, if we look at the word waste in the Greek, it's the same as perdition in John 17, 12, a verse that refers to Judas, and the commentator continues to say, he wasted his God-given opportunities and eventually wasted his life, ending it by his own life. You see, this is a contrast here that we have between Mary, who is a worshiper, and Judas, who ends up being a traitor. Judas ended up wasting his God-given opportunities. He wasted his life by being overly concerned with his earthly well-being. He stole money to live a comfortable life in the here and now, and then for what? He didn't trust that Jesus was telling him the truth when he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you." You see, we love our alabaster box. We spend so much time taking care of it that we don't want it to be broken. We worry too much about our comfort right now and not enough about later on. Judas stole money because he wasn't thinking about the later on. Again, one disciple spoke up and said, "What a waste." These guys who were living with Jesus, 3.5 years, they never worshiped him. They saw miracle after miracle, healing after healing, raising people from the dead, controlling the waves, wind, and everything else in between, and they never worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, "I know about you, I know about your guys, but I tell you that whenever this gospel is preached, what she did will also be preached. What you did may not preach, but what she did will surely be preached and surely be blessed." But he said that this is a waste of money. I will tell you what a waste of money is. A waste of money is when you live in a beautiful home and you never lift up your hand and worship God in his house. Your time without worshiping God is a waste. Your effort and energy without helping to spread this good news of Jesus Christ is actually a waste. Your money, if not helping the kingdom of God, is a waste. Your songs without Jesus are a waste of your talent. This morning, what is not a waste is when the Spirit of God gets upon you while you're singing a song and you can't finish it because the Spirit of God has overtaken you. That is not a waste. That is what is productive. Amen? Many people forget that Jesus asked for what is it to profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his soul. When we stop worrying about being taken care of in this life and do what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then surely all these things will be added unto us. If we would stop wasting our life on making a cozy nest here in this present world and trust that Jesus will take care of our needs, then we could more easily break our flask and pour out our life as a sweet-smelling aroma unto God. Amen? That brings me to point number 6. Our devotion will be remembered. If we ever come to the point where we learn to sacrifice our wants and desires to serve the Lord, then we will finally be living a life that is devoted to Christ. Again, we see in Mark 14:9, it tells us, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, What this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. This verse basically says that this woman's one act of devotion will be remembered for all of the time. If we break ourselves of our own desires and pour ourselves out for the sake of Christ and the kingdom, then we will be remembered by God forever in eternity. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and the angels." You see, this phrase, "he who overcomes," means he who is able to put aside worldly gain for the sake of Jesus Christ. To all those who pour out their life at the feet of Jesus, their names will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life to be remembered forever. If we want to learn to sacrifice our life now, then we will gain so much more in eternity when we meet Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to encourage you to break your flask, break your box. If you, like Judas, are ignoring the call to serve God because you're too busy making your life in this world secure, then I want to urge you to let go, to start storing up treasures in heaven, for what you do here on this earth can't be taken with you when you die. This morning, if you will stand with me, this morning I want to encourage you to pour out yourself unto God. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray this morning that you will pour your life out to Him, that you will come to the feet of the cross. Come bow down and lay your earthly crown before Him. Again, Jesus said, "What is it to profit a man if he were to gain this whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" If we will pour out ourselves unto God this morning, it will be acceptable. It will be a sweet-smelling aroma that God will honor. This morning, it is pleasing to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that when breath leaves this body, I will be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. I've said this many times from this pulpit, but the best insurance policy that you can leave your children, your relatives, your cousins, whomever, is to know that when breath leaves your body, that you are with Jesus. That's the best insurance policy. Fidelity can't sell that. State Farm can't sell it. There's no insurance company that can sell it. That is the eternal gift that you can give your loved one, is to say, without a doubt, I know that when mom or dad or whomever went to be with, when they died, I know they went to be with the Lord. That's the best peace that you can give a loved one. And this morning, may we break our box. May we come before the Lord this morning and say, "God, whatever you want to do with me, however you want to use me, I give myself unto you." And when that box is broken, it's a sweet smell, sweet aroma unto God. So this morning, I encourage you, if there is something that God has wanted you to do, some work that God has wanted you to perform, I pray this morning that you would ask God to bring that to your remembrance, to fulfill the work that He has for your life. Dear Father, if you'll bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, God, that you have woke us up this morning, that you've put us in this mind. And God, if anyone in here this morning does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would come this morning to the altar or wherever they are, that you would meet them where they're at, and that they would accept you as Jesus and as Lord of their life. Lord, we believe this morning that you sent your Son Jesus to die for our sins. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We admit that we have sinned, and we confess this morning, God, that you are, that Jesus is Lord. And we just ask that you would live inside of us, remind us of the things that we need to do to correct us, God. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you would like to pray this morning, the altars are open. If you'd like to pray at your seat, the Lord will meet you where you're at this morning, amen. God bless you.
The altars are open this morning if you want to come and gather around. You say, well, Brother Greg, I don't have anything wrong in my life. It's still a good time to pray. You never know when something may come up this week. You're going to need extra prayer. Amen. So let's spend some time praying and seeking the face of God. If you're here today and you need to be anointed and prayed for some reason, please come forward. We will be glad to anoint you and pray for you.